do today was the right move. I'm just not so sure he should be as secure in his decision as he appears to be. Maybe he found a particularly bright shade of red for that barn he keeps talking about, and maybe he can put a few extra coats on during the bye week. I am Tim Benson for Mark Madden at Cambria Suites, or Cambria Hotel, downtown Pittsburgh today. Mark is under the weather today, so I'm pinch hitting right next to PPG Paints Arena. Face off here, 105.9 The X at 7 o'clock. The Hockey Night Show comes up at 5:30. Network pregame at 6. Lots of hockey talk between now and then. It's 70s night at the game tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. So Dave Hansen is going to be here with me at 3:35. You know him from Slapshot fame, and he's going to be giving away a jersey. We got tickets to give away for the Flyers game. That takes place on the 29th of October. You got to be here to win. Sign up to win. We are in the lobby. Quick and easy. Come have a Bud Light. We've got cans for $3 before 5 o'clock, so be here for that. Mike Rupp, 4:35. I imagine we'll get into hockey talk with him after I make fun of the Browns with him on the other end of the phone for about 10 minutes first, of course. Then Dejan Kovacevic at 5:35 from DKPittsburghSports.com. But in between all that hockey talk, it was a surprisingly newsworthy day at the Steelers facility on the south side in the waning hours before the bye week kicked in. Most of the players had left, but Mike Tomlin briefly met with the media for a watered-down version of his weekly press address. But as it turns out, this one had a little bit more news than the average one that he holds at full length. And it may be because Mike just wanted to get out of there and wanted to get away from us so he could get to his red barn or whatever. But in being economical with his words and quick in his pace to up and leave, Mike didn't have time to sort of talk around direct questions. He didn't have time to mince words and dance around the topic of the day, and he didn't have time to double speak and obfuscate. He just came right out and said it. Mason Rudolph is going to be the team's starting quarterback coming out of the bye. Take a listen.
Yes, if that makes you guys feel good. Seriously, guys, that guy is our quarterback when he clears the protocol. And it's as simple as that. Appreciate the efforts of Duck and so forth. But as soon as he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
As you looked at Hodges' performance, how did he do a little bit further upon the tape study?
He didn't kill us, you know. And that's what you need from young quarterbacks. And in general, he took care of the ball. He made the plays he needed to make. But we were thoughtful about the positions that we put him in. We converted 3 or 4 possession downs via the run. Many others we dumped off in the flat and allowed James Conner to win them after the catch. We did the things that we needed to do to secure victory in that instance.
So what do you think, Pittsburgh? Rudolph back, Duck out. The Duck has been plucked after just one start and one win against the Chargers. Is that the right move by Tomlin or not? Like I said, I think that's the right move. It's the right decision. I'm just surprised at how declarative and upfront Tomlin was about it. The number for you to call to agree or disagree, 412-333-9939, or tweet me at Tim Benz, PGH. Not only was Tomlin upfront about his answer regarding who will start, he was also upfront about Mason Rudolph's medical condition, saying that he would have been a full participant today, and at his official clearance from the protocol, that was just a matter of semantics. That's what Tomlin said there, just a matter of semantics. So I don't know what got into him. But Tomlin was very forthright in talking about both topics of conversation surrounding his quarterbacks. Maybe he just doesn't want the distraction hanging over the head of the Steelers to have a quarterback controversy over two quarterbacks that really the franchise preferred not be playing. They would rather have Ben Roethlisberger in there, to be sure. So Rudolph's fast recovery might be playing a little bit of a role into Tomlin's level of comfort when it comes to putting Rudolph back in the lineup so quickly after Hodges got the win. But again, what struck me was the direct nature of Tomlin's answer. Now, while those of us in the media and the fans may have been debating it since Rudolph got hurt and Duck came in and played well against Baltimore, it sounds like Hodges staying in as quarterback was never a consideration. And honestly, I didn't think the difference in their play was that vast. I don't think it was as much of a no-brainer as Tomlin is portraying it, even though in the end, this is the decision I would make. And what I'm driving at is, if you listen to that soundbite there from Tomlin. Listen to how he describes Hodges, how he viewed his role in that victory against the Chargers. In fact, let's play it again so you can hear it a second time, perhaps knowing what's coming now. And listen to Tomlin's word choice. Listen to his, I don't know, his dismissiveness of the prospect of even considering Hodges to be the starter.
Yes, if that makes you guys feel good. Seriously, guys, that guy is our quarterback when he clears the protocol. And it's as simple as that. Appreciate the efforts of Duck and so forth. But as soon as he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
As you looked at Hodges' performance, how did he do a little bit further upon the tape study?
He didn't kill us, you know, and that's what you need from young quarterbacks. And in general, he took care of the ball. He made the plays he needed to make. But we were thoughtful about the positions that we put him in. We converted three or four possession downs via the run. Many others we dumped off in the flat and allowed James Conner to win them after the catch. We did the things that we needed to do to secure victory in that instance.
So when I hear that and I listen critically, I'm left wondering if there's such an incredible difference between the two quarterbacks, why did Tomlin handle them almost exactly the same? If they sort of insinuate here that Hodges, with all the dump-offs to Conner and, you know, the characterizing of Hodges' efforts is basically not killing the Steelers, as Tomlin said, why then were both game plans so similar for the two QBs? The tone of Tomlin's answer there was if to say, you didn't actually think we'd have Duck be our starter for good, did you? I mean, look at how we had to marginalize the playbook so we could win in Los Angeles. That's what he's saying. Okay, well, at least you weren't running the wildcat for him. You were for Rudolph, though. You know, you're having running backs throw the football inside your own 20 instead of your quarterback doing it against the Ravens. So for however much Tomlin wants to make it sound like Hodges was guarded in that game, what's the real difference between that and how much he was guarding Rudolph against San Francisco, the Bengals, in the first half of the Ravens game? Why is he acting like there was such a thick line there? Because there wasn't. I didn't see it. And there also wasn't in the level of play either. Hey, like I said, I'm a Rudolph fan. No one wants to see this guy succeed more than me. But the level of impressiveness between the two quarterbacks really wasn't all that different given the opportunity, was it? Within the confines of how they were both told to operate, I found them to be indiscernible. Even when the reins were loosened on both of them, I found them to be extremely similar, i.e., you know, the second half of the Seattle game for Rudolph, the second half of the Baltimore game for Hodges. When they were loosened up, they both kind of played the same too. So what do you think? 412-333-9939. The biggest angle to this is that there are bigger fish to fry beyond what these backups to Ben Roethlisberger should be doing when it comes to trying to beat the stinking Miami Dolphins or the disappointing LA Rams. You know, they both should be able to do that against the Dolphins. They both should be able to beat Miami. I don't know if either can beat the Rams, even though the Rams are struggling. But like I said, there are bigger fish to fry than just those games. Then, you know, just to see if Duck Dynasty, in a best case scenario, if you're a Hodges fan, you think that he can get to the Steelers record to be like 7-9 as opposed to Rudolph getting them to 6-10. Even if you're that optimistic, I think the bigger deal now is to get a good long look at Mason Rudolph. The Steelers have been given a gift here, and that gift is the ability of a 14-week look at the guy who could be the successor to your franchise quarterback. The thing that stinks is you don't have your franchise quarterback. You know, the silver lining is you have the opportunity to look at a guy who you thought maybe could be the replacement for the franchise quarterback, or at the very least, he's a guy that you can look at and say, well, now we know if he should be the backup or not. You're going to have what amounts to, you know, after the injury and so forth, a 12 and a half week look, if you want to be specific, to get a view of what you have in Rudolph. Most teams don't get that option. You have a franchise guy, you ride him until he retires, you get a new guy, and you hope he's good enough. That's what the Giants are doing with Daniel Jones. That's what the Packers and San Francisco 49ers did with Aaron Rodgers and Steve Young when they replaced Joe Montana and Brett Favre, respectively. That's what the Patriots thought they were going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. It just so happens that their franchise guy wasn't done yet. He kept winning Super Bowls. You know, and hopefully that's the case with Ben Roethlisberger. And then maybe you'll know that you have a career backup at least in Rudolph if he does a nice job for as long as he here, as he's here? Or maybe like with Jimmy Garoppolo, you can trade him and get something in return? Like the Patriots, they didn't really have that chance with Jimmy G. You know, they didn't get the four-game look even at him as they were expecting when Brady got pinched for Deflategate because he got hurt and they had to go with Jacoby Brissett. But they got something for Jacoby Brissett. They got Philip Dorsett, who last time I checked was still running behind Cam Kelly for a touchdown. So don't look a gift horse in the mouth for a duck. And they're not. They're making the right move with Rudolph. I was just really surprised and taken aback a bit by how Tomlin presented it, not only from the standpoint about how declarative he was about the difference between the two quarterbacks, but also from the standpoint of what he perceives to be a difference in the game plan, because I didn't see it. If he sees Mason Rudolph to be that much better than Devlin Hodges, then the game plan should be much more big boy this next week against the Miami Dolphins when they come back from the bye, because it looked way too similar for a guy that he's openly dismissing at this point as a potential starter. He's making it sound like there's a chasm between the two quarterbacks. And from what I've been able to glean, looking how he has approached both games with both quarterbacks, there isn't that much of a difference in how he has allowed the restrictions to be released on who he views to be the better QB. It's not evident. 412-333-9939. Got some people on hold already who want to talk about this. Want to talk about hockey. Boys, a couple really great games last time the Avs played the Penguins last year. Let's see what they have this year at PPG Paints Arena. Stick around for that. Dave Hansen is here. We're going to give away the jersey. We're going to give away the Flyers-Penguins tickets on October the 29th, brought to you by Bud Light. Also, when we come back, Jason Lacanfora sure isn't giving up this Mike Tomlin to the Redskins thing. We got some audio from him on that as that conversation kept going this week down in D.C. You'll hear it firsthand here on 105.9 The X. Cambria, Pittsburgh Hotel, downtown. Tim Benz with you and for Mark Madden today, getting you set for Avs and Pens. And you'll hear the game right here on 105.9 The X. It's 70s night, so Dave Hansen's going to join us. Slapshot theme next door during the course of the evening. We've got a couple tickets to give away for the Flyers game on the 29th here in the lobby, and Dave's going to give away an autographed Charleston Chiefs jersey as well. So make sure you're listening, and make sure you stop by here on 105.9 The X, brought to you by Bud Light, 16-ounce cans for $3 before 5 p.m. Let's jump out the phones after we open up the show and talk about the news coming out from the South Side today. Mason Rudolph will go back in at quarterback, it appears, for the Miami Dolphins game. It looks like he's out of concussion protocol. And Mike Tomlin said today, when he gets a clean bill of health, he's going back in. That is the right move, even though there's a segment of the Steelers population that thinks they should stick with the duck, Devlin Hodges. I insist that his last name or his nickname, if it isn't duck, we're not even having the conversation. It's a fun nickname. It's a fun story. But logic dictates you go with Rudolph. And I think we really kind of forgot how well Rudolph played in that second half against the Seattle Seahawks because the reins were put on him so tight. I think that they should be loosened, as I thought they should have been loosened for Duck Dynasty as well, to be honest with you. And with the way that Tomlin described it at his news conference today, if there's such a vast difference between the two QBs and it's such a no-brainer, then why do the game plans look as similar as they did? That's my question. Let's go to Jimmy, who's calling from Mount Washington. Jimmy, you're on 105.9 The X.
Hey, Tim.
Hi.
First of all, I just wanted to say what a breath of fresh air it is to hear you instead of the so-called self-imposed super genius. Anyway,
Mark is, in fact, a super genius. Smart enough to take a day off when it's going to be a monsoon wherever he was driving back from. But whatever. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No doubt. Anyway, so kind of two-part answer here. I think, first of all, Tomlin came out and drew the hard line in the sand with the media as to, like, listen, this is going to be the starter. I don't want to be barraged with a bunch of questions about it, and I don't want to turn this into a media circus or a quarterback controversy. That was the first thing. And then the second thing, it's like, I question a lot of his decisions. With putting Rudolph in isn't one of them. You got a guy who's been in our system going on 2 years now. You know, like you said, it's a good look at the future of what we might have in him as opposed to a feel-good story of a guy, you know, with a clever last name. So.
Well, yeah, and thanks for the call, Jimmy. Look, here's the deal with the Hodges thing. For even if it is true, for those that saw him play in the second half against the Ravens and saw him play against the Chargers, and even if you do think he is currently the second best quarterback on the roster, the hope is that you didn't draft a third-round quarterback from a Big 12 school to be not as good as the undrafted kid from Stanford that you tried to let go for Josh Dobbs. You know, they want to think they're right on this, and they probably should try to prove that they are right on this by going with Rudolph for as long as they can. And if they're wrong and he stinks against the Dolphins and gives them their first win or almost gives them their first win and he stinks the next week too, okay, then maybe you realize you misevaluated, but you have got to allow yourself to see your plan being right or wrong, and you've got a chance to do so here. Ken calling from the truck. You're on 105.9 The X.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, this is the first time I called, and I'm like, unlike the last caller, I'm a little disappointed that Mark's not there, because I was sort of looking forward to getting ridiculed. But
you want to be ridiculed? Well, let's see what your call is like, and maybe I can do something about that.
I think he's hilarious. That's what I'm getting at. But we got a rookie, and we got, what, a two-year man that this controversy's over, or three-year now?
Well, no, his second year.
Okay, so in other words, they're pretty equal. I think what it comes down to is who could throw the better long ball. I mean, let them break out, and whoever got the better arm, let them play.
Okay, so what you want to do, and this is where I can ridicule you, Ken, so good news. So you want them to line up on the 20-yard line and just see who can throw the football further and start that guy?
No, I didn't say just throw it further. I'm better eye for the open receiver downfield.
That's well, the receivers need to get open first. That would be nice. They haven't had much of that this year. Look, if what you're getting at, and I think this is what you're getting at, but it was a little hard to surf through it, I think what you're getting at is it's a backup quarterback controversy, so we shouldn't get too wound up about it. I think that's what you're saying. And if that is your point, then I agree with your premise. If we're trying to figure out who's better between Hodges and Rudolph, we're trying to figure out how many games they can win before they get mathematically eliminated sometime in December. And you know what? The die was cast on that when they went 0-3 and eventually 1-4. To that point, you're right. But there is a bigger picture to look at here, and it's what's coming after Ben Roethlisberger. If Mason Rudolph is who they say he is, a third-round quarterback from a Big 12 school with an alleged first-round grade on him, then he should separate himself easily, and frankly, play pretty well against some poor teams that are coming up on their schedule to make it difficult to have a decision at some point, like we talked about before, with the Niners, with the Packers, with Young and Montana, with Favre and Rodgers. They would love to be in that position, because then they would know they'd be in good shape at the quarterback position for years to come after Big Ben retires. Right now, they don't know that, and they have a chance to figure it out, and they shouldn't sacrifice it for a guy who's a fantastic story and just happened to help them win a game against a really bad Chargers team. Let's go to Nick, who's calling from Monroeville. Nick, you're on 105.9 The X. Nick, are you there? Nick going once, going twice, gone. Nick's question was about Sidney Crosby and whether or not he can win the MVP. Yeah, he's Sidney Crosby. Not only is he good enough, but he's also the biggest name in hockey. So if you've got those kind of credentials and you've got that kind of cred and you've done it before, of course you can win the MVP. But part of winning the MVP usually means you got to be on a good team. And I'm stunned at how well the Penguins have managed to play in spite of all the injuries that they've faced so far. But in that absence of Evgeny Malkin, in the absence of all those forwards that they've had, his ability to put the team on his shoulders and carry the team in different ways besides just raw goal scoring himself, setting up other guys, playing both ends of the ice, all the stuff that we hear about Evgeny Malkin and the way that he rises his game at times when Sidney Crosby is out, Crosby has started to do some of that already with Malkin out, as well as some of the other guys that have been injured to this point. And let's keep in mind, it's Gino, it's Galchenyuk, it's Brian Rust, it's Nick Bjugstad. Of their nine forwards in their top three lines, we're talking about five guys who are out. I mean, it's almost half the forwards that they were planning to have in their lineup to start opening night. So this is no small thing that they're dealing with. Let's go to Craig, who's calling from the car. Craig, you're on 105.9 The X.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Good, Craig.
You know what? I'm definitely in full agreement with Mason Rudolph, you know, with the starting position. And I agree completely with what you're saying about, you know, them holding, putting the reins on, you know, Devlin Hodges and Rudolph. And if they really want to see what Rudolph can do, I think they need to unleash him. They just need to let him play.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to run the run and shoot. They don't have to run the kind of system he ran at Oklahoma State. They have to let him play regular quarterback like he did against the Seattle Seahawks when I thought he was pretty decent. You know, when he was playing against the Seahawks, and he's 12 of 19, and if Dante Moncrief doesn't barf a ball out of his hands right into the defensive back for Seattle, he's got a 122 passer rating. That's pretty good, and frankly, that's one of the better teams that they've faced so far. So given that set of circumstances, you just got to let him play quarterback. Let him play your system and see how he fits in it on a real basis. One more. Nick calling from his truck. Nick, you're on 105.9 The X.
Hey, Tim. I didn't know that stat about a 122 rating, but what I was going to say might be killed now. I don't think Mason Rudolph is our answer for Ben, but I don't think there's a controversy. Obviously, he gets in and plays. I like the dink and dunks. I like the underneath plays. I like the way they were able to control the game last game. If they can continue that on the road and wherever they're at playing, I think we should be fine because our defense has really stepped it up. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, well, you know what, Nick? They can do that probably in their next game against the Dolphins because they stink. You know, the Rams defense hasn't been as good this year. That's why they made the move that they did to get Jalen Ramsey. So they're trying to get better. The way I view the dink and dunk or the conservative approach that they've had offensively, they're playing to what they have right now, which I guess is smart. But if you want to see if he's worth being the long-term answer to Ben, you do have to loosen it up. And when you see a better defense, you're going to have to loosen it up. And I'll point to what happened against the 49ers. You know, they were so conservative, they were given the ball five times, and they couldn't take advantage of it, I think in part because they were too conservative in the red zone. And you know, that's why I thought there was a weird disconnect between the message that Tomlin was trying to send and his assuredness that Rudolph is the guy, and the underlying message of trying to say, well, Hodges won, but it was because we took such care of him, and we insulated him so much. Well, you kind of did that with Rudolph, too. So that's where I thought the inconsistency was in the logic, in the explanation, so to speak, today. All right, when we come back, sorry, I got a little long there. We had a ton of phone calls I wanted to get through before we got Dave on. Dave Hansen is going to join us. We're going to give away that Chiefs jersey at some point today before 6. You got to be here at Cambria at the hotel downtown right next to PPG Paints Arena. I guess I should say Uptown. Brought to you by Bud Light. You got to register for that. And the Flyers-Penguins tickets, which we will give away as well before 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about 70s night. We'll talk about Slapshot. Always good to have Dave here. He's got some tremendous stories we were already talking about during the break that we're going to get to. And I will get to those sound bites from Jason Lockenfora down in Washington on the Tony Kornheiser show about the Tomlin to Washington talk that he just will not let go of. We'll have that for you coming up before 4 o'clock here on 105.9 The X. When my guest at this time leaves this mortal coil and goes in that big, ugly bus to the sky, we'll be using this song as his funeral procession, I'm pretty sure. Dave Hansen joins us right now, 105.9 The X. Tim Benz in for Mark Madden today as we get set for Pens and Avs on The X later on tonight. It's 70s night with a Slapshot theme. So Dave Hansen, executive director of the Island Sports Center, joins us right now to set the stage. It's been 42 years since that came out?
Came out February 77.
I remember you recently going through a lot of hype about the 40-year anniversary. Yeah. And I feel like that anniversary has just carried over for the last 2 years.
It's amazing. It just continues to go on and on and on. It's kind of like a bad rash. It just doesn't go away.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of like the celebration has continued for not only in Johnstown, but also out here in Pittsburgh. And actually, Robert Morris, since I do the games for Robert Morris, we might be going out there. They've got an exhibition game. They're going to have like a Slapshot night out there when they play a school from Canada, right?
Yeah, they're having it in Johnstown. And probably, you know, take a ride down there, put the glasses on and foil up and see if I can get in the lineup.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll all race the cars and start to get going. So are you surprised, as I am, that even kids who are 20 years old, maybe even 10 years old, have snuck a look at the movie. Probably shouldn't at 10. But, you know, the way it has passed on from generation to generation, how big of a hit it's been.
Yeah, we'll go into places and you'll see, obviously, you'll see, you know, the people of the golden years that saw it and parents. But when you see the little kids, and then what really blows your mind is when they come up and they start reciting the lines from the movie, especially some with some of the colorful language in there. And you're looking at him, he says, what did you say? He says, I'll teach you, you little... Where's your dad? And his dad's over in the corner laughing his butt off.
Right?
He's big, that's my boy.
That's the first time I've been allowed to swear, and I got to do it to Dave Hansen. So Potash is going to be fully invested tonight, from what I understand. I always want to know what Potash is going to do for the costume themes, and he's going all in, right?
You know, if anybody can look like Ogi, Potash does.
He's doing Ogi Oglethorpe.
He did the
huh?
transformation, and all he did was put a wig on, and he looks just like the bugger. It's unbelievable.
You know, I've seen him do the Darth Maul thing for Star Wars Night. I've seen him do each era, but now I'm really impressed that he's committing to a character from the movie. Personality-wise, you couldn't get more polar opposite from Ogi to Potash, though. I think that would be your experience, too. Am I right there?
Well, if you think back into the movie, Ogi doesn't say a word. So Potash, it was really out of character for him to have to bite his lip on any of the promos that we did leading up for the game.
In the past, he has done his Sullivan interview in full character.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
When they did Kiss Night, yeah. He did it in full character. When he did the Darth Maul makeup, he did it in full character. I don't know how he's going to do a full character interview with Mike Sullivan as Oglethorpe.
Well, if anybody can pull it off, obviously he can.
Yeah.
But he certainly looks the part. He could be the double.
How many of those guys did you stay in touch with beyond the film, and who did you stay the closest with?
Well, shortly after the film, and you know, years later, Newman and I used to stay in touch. I'd go out and watch him. He'd invite us out to the Grand Prix in Detroit or up in northern Minnesota, and at a distance. And ironically, he was actually going to write the foreword to a book I put out a few years ago, and then unfortunately got sick and passed away. But you know, he was one of the marquee guys to hang on. But all the other guys, I mean, you know. Alan Nichols would play Johnny Upton, the captain. Yvonne Barrett, who played the goaltender. Billy Charlebois, the pretty boy. Dr. Hook. Hanrahan. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not his wife, but Hanrahan. So, you know, a lot of those guys, we kind of stay in touch, and we'd cross paths with each other, you know, out in North America, wherever we'd go. And then it was pretty cool. About a couple of years ago, when we had the 40th in Johnstown, a lot of us got back together, and it was just, you know, talk about stories and falling right back into character.
How did it come to pass that you ended up not being Killer Carlson?
Well, originally, Universal Studios wanted the marquee actors to play all the major roles. And, of course, even though, really, if you talk about a two-hour movie, the Hansen brothers really don't have a whole lot of minutes.
Yeah, you're joined about, what, a third of the way through the movie,
yeah.
Halfway through the movie?
Yeah, and then even through there, we're kind of dispersed here and there. So they got, you know, when they started casting, they had Nick Nolte, John Travolta, Strauss, Donnie Most, you know, a bunch of these A-listed actors out on the ice, seeing if they could skate, and they couldn't skate. So they actually brought in, you know, the guy who played Ogi Oglethorpe in the movie was a professional hockey player with us, and brought him in to try to teach him to skate. Peter Strauss broke his ankle. The other guys were just ankle biters. And they finally got so frustrated, they said, you know, these guys can't skate. And he said, listen, I play with these other guys. Why don't you let them try to do their roles? So they came back to Johnstown, sat us in front of a table, and the plan was you had Jeff, Jack, and Steve Carlson that were the big brothers with the black rim glasses, and then you had Dave Killer Hansen. You know, those characters were written in the script as the Hansen brothers and Dave Killer Carlson, and the plan was have the Carlson brothers be the Hansen brothers and Dave Hansen be Killer Carlson. So when they got around to getting ready to do all that stuff, Jack got called up and played with Edmonton Oilers. They're in the playoffs, wouldn't release them to come back. They wanted to start the movie, so we all lived together anyhow, so they just threw me in as a third brother and brought in Jerry Hauser, a professional actor, to play Killer.
Does anybody ever actually buy you a beer, or are you just given root beer all the time?
I get root beer all the time. It's either hey, they show you a quarter, hey, look what I found, or, you know, here's your stinking root beer. You know, of course, I got to say, hey, it's a grape and orange, but none of that stinking root beer.
Do you ever get invited to, I don't know, Pinewood Derbies or something like that to race cars? Like the local Boy Scouts or anything like that?
Yeah, no, they're afraid I'll break the damn car.
You know, when I think about the movie and sort of the way that Johnstown is connected to it, I can't picture. I was talking about this the other day with somebody. I don't know if it's sports. It doesn't have to be a sports related movie, I guess. But the only other like town that I can think of that would have that kind of connection, specifically remembered by the masses for a movie, even though it's Charlestown,
right.
Everybody knows it's Johnstown. Is Durham? Durham,
yeah.
For Bull Durham, Durham, North Carolina, like another city that adopted the framework of the movie in the same manner that you guys did.
Yeah, well, and, you know, a little side note on the story of why Johnstown got chosen.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually another city that was chosen. I don't know if it was, whether it was Syracuse or Utica or somewhere else, but the location person that makes those decisions came into Johnstown, and he saw the dog. And he says, they got a dog. It's in the middle of the park. We got to shoot the movie here. The dog made a decision and not only saved Johnstown, but it got him to make a movie in it.
That's fantastic. I didn't know it came down to that specific.
Yeah.
The dog is, how can I phrase this delicately, not spoken of highly in the movie.
No,
right?
No, not at all, yeah.
Well, screw him.
Yeah, screw him.
You know, so there was a scene, wasn't there, in the Syracuse War Memorial?
Yeah. Yeah, we shot in. That's where we went up in the stands.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait a minute. That was in. Yeah, I think that was Syracuse.
Yeah, and I think they shot. Well, there's one scene where they're looking up because I remember going to see the Syracuse Crunch play there because they became an AHL team when I was still working there. And, you know, knowing the arena and then seeing the movie again, I was like, oh, I remember that. You'd see kind of what the stage is and how that spiral staircase went upstairs to the press box. And there were some great rinks and barns and AHL hockey towns associated with that movie that will forever be interwoven.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, Utica was another one. You know, Utica, New York, and that was really a dump to play on. We were playing a hockey game there one night, and somebody snuck a pig in, for Pete's sakes, and he threw the pig on the ice. Well, talk about, you know, hilarious trying to get these referees. You know, who's gonna catch the pig? You are. You are. No, I'm not gonna do it.
Well, what was harder to do? Was it harder for the hockey players to act, or it sounds like it's pretty hard for the actors to skate? That's for sure.
Well, it started out, at least for the Hanson brothers, really difficult to act. I mean, George Roy Hill, who was a Minnesota boy, we're all from Minnesota, Minnesota guy, great sense of humor, stuck us in front of camera, here's your lines, boys, and we action, and we say our lines, he'd say, cut, let's try again. Then finally he says, hey, guys, this ain't working. He says, let's try a different approach. This is a setup. What would you do if we were in this and that? And he says, whatever you do, just do it. And so he said, action, and we did it. And he says, that's great. From now on, he says, you got your lines, but if you think it's something else, do it. Do it. And he gave us the green light to improv. So it turned out, I really think, where it was easier for the hockey players, us, to play hockey players, than it was for the actors to be playing hockey players.
So last thing here, as far as the nostalgia that you might have for the film, and maybe that's just the way to ask it, is do you have more nostalgia for that brand of hockey and wish it could come back, or do you have more nostalgia for the film knowing that that movie could never be made again?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, there's aspects in that film that is the way hockey was played. I mean, that's the way the game was played. Unfortunately, some of that stuff no longer happens anymore, or happens very rarely, and I think that's a missing part of the game, even though the game is as great as ever in a lot of aspects. But, you know, if you don't see guys dropping the gloves and going at it, it's just a missing component. I know Madden doesn't like it. We have that conversation all along. But in my book, there's nothing like having a couple guys just...
Well, maybe when the Flyers come to town, since we're giving away the tickets on October the 29th, have some there.
I'll tell Jimmy, I'll gladly put the foil on first shift. You just, you know,
tell me who to go after.
I'll go right after him, get him out of the game early.
Are you glad the remake didn't happen?
Yes.
I am too, because they couldn't do it right. No. You can't, like I said before, you can't make that movie now. It's just too politically incorrect.
Yep.
You couldn't get away with half the lines. The script would have to be softened up and sanitized.
Yep.
you had to be on board with the notion of just let it be what it was, right?
A few years ago, Maxim magazine rated it as the number one movie, guy movie of all time because of all those things.
Yes.
You cannot have that today.
Yeah, the sanctity of being a guy now has to be going back to movies from the 70s.
Right.
So allow them to be what they were,
yep,
and not tainted by something else that is trying to be remade in 2019.
No, you
right?
cannot. You cannot have a guy like Paul Newman say to the owner of a team who's a female that, hey, you know, your son, he kind of looks like a... You know. That couldn't happen.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Dave. Really appreciate
pleasure,
it. You
Tim.
Have fun tonight, I'm sure.
I'm
are you dropping
blast.
The opening puck, or what are you doing? Are you?
I think I'm singing the national anthem. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Listen to the song.
Yeah.
Just check Jimerson into the boards and take the microphone and just turn it over to the audience. We can handle it from there.
I think it's a good idea.
Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for the jersey, too.
I think we'll have a lot of fun here.
A Charlestown Chiefs jersey, you can come and win it. It's autographed by all the Hansons?
Yeah, the other two actually can write besides me, so we all wrote our names on it. That's the only thing we
He's
can write.
He's made an X and handed it over to the other guys. All right, so that'll be given away as well as the tickets to go see Flyers and Pens on the 29th. We'll be back with those clips from Jason Lockenfora, the latest on the Tomlin to the Redskins discussion, which was the Flames were fanned in Washington yesterday. You'll hear that next here on 105.9 The X.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Coast to Coast, sponsored by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com and by the Ford King, Richard Bassey's Schultz Ford in Wexford, Armorville, and now in the South Hills. I just got to wear Dave Hansen's root beer bottle rim glasses. That's a big day for me. This is a big accomplishment. And I also retweeted the photo, the video that the Penguins put out of Dan Potash as Ogie Oglethorpe. So, yeah, he does have the look down, as I expected Potash would for the broadcast tonight. We're giving away tickets, not for tonight's game, but for the game against the Flyers. We'll talk about the Penguins with Mike Ruff coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, I can't believe it, but more of you are watching Pirates games than before, and I can't figure out why. We'll get to that. But Tim Benson for Mark Madden today, and if you were listening to me on the DV morning show, I was filling in for Mike Pursuta, and I got some clips from the Tony Kornheiser show down in Washington, D.C., and he had Jason Lockenfora on. Jason covered the Redskins before he went national with CBS Sports. And as you know, he has been advancing the idea that Daniel Snyder is going to try to lure Mike Tomlin away from the Steelers and try to lure the Steelers into letting Mike Tomlin go via compensation of some sort. Remember, John Gruden got 2 firsts and 2 seconds. I don't even think Snyder is crazy enough to do that. I'd do it for a first and, I don't know, a good kick returner. How about a good backup for Stephon Tuitt? Whatever the case may be. But, you know, to me, a coach at this stage of Tomlin's career, where he is right now, as opposed to where Gruden was, who was the hottest ticket going at the time, first-round draft choice, that's fair compensation to me. I'd do it. I don't think the Steelers will, but I would. Here's Lockenfora talking to Kornheiser about why he is so sure that Snyder is going to go to great lengths to make this happen.
So that's the guy who he covets. He will be willing to try to move heaven and earth to make that happen. Now, at the end of the day, is that just something that, you know, Mike Tomlin wouldn't consider? I don't know. You know, there's people very close to him who think that's not out of the question at all, that at this stage of his life and his career, that he may be open to something like this. Tomlin's comments last Monday certainly didn't, you know, seem to squash the idea. And then it's the Rooneys. And would they be willing to consider something sort of so outside the box? And they're very old school, and, you know, they've had 3 coaches in 60 years or whatever. But I'd also say, you know, I can't recall too many times where the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers only got what was really a 1-year extension.
Or the general manager was going year to year, or they ended up trading a first-round draft choice for a safety. So, yeah, maybe they are doing things differently. That said, though, Kornheiser pointed out to Lock and Four he doesn't think Tomlin will actually leave.
Why in God's name would anybody come to this particular organization and trust what someone says? I mean, if I'm Mike Tomlin, before I even have the conversation, I say, I need to see Bruce Allen with a suitcase in his hand in a car leaving. I need to see that. That is the gesture of good faith I need to see.
Mike Tomlin knows Doug Williams, knows Bruce Allen from their time in Tampa. There's already some semblance of a relationship there, and I get the sense that Dan knows that a restructuring may have to happen here. That doesn't mean Bruce is out of the building.
Right.
But if Mike Tomlin has head coach and VP of football operations title, then Bruce has essentially been neutered to the business side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd also say, you know, Mike Tomlin from Virginia, yes. Richmond, where they have training camp, not very far from where he is as well. His oldest son is a redshirt freshman at College Park.
All right, so again, that was Jason Lock and Four with Tony Kornheiser. And, you know, you've heard those theories before as to why Tomlin might be interested. He had another one, which is maybe he's just tired of Steelers fans getting on him so much for not winning the Super Bowl again or going again when he's gone twice and won one already. But I will say there's something to be said for the fact that they don't win a playoff game this year. I don't see them qualifying for the playoffs this year. It'll be three straight years where they haven't won a playoff game, and maybe he will want to start anew, even if the Redskins are the least stable coaching franchise in sports, at least this sport, as opposed to the one that is the most stable that he's enjoyed ever since he got his first head coaching job back in 2007. 412-333-9939. Again, 412-333-9939. That's the number to call. We come back in 30 seconds. More of you are watching Pirates games. Why? It's 105.9 The X.